Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I want to make a special request and ask White to really knuckle down and do more activism than you've ever done, and take it seriously and spread the word. I can't emphasize enough that silence is death. If anything's going to kill us, if anything's going to be a threat to our survival, it will be silence. There are whites who tell me that all activism is a waste of time, especially in South Africa. I have lots of people in South Africa who basically have a negative viewpoint, and they say, what are we going to do? We're so few, we can't do anything. All activism is a waste of time, nobody listens, etc. And another thing that whites tend to do is they tend to look on things as a win or lose situation, that we're not going to win, so why bother? We're not going to change anything, we're not going to succeed, so why bother? Let's just ignore it. And that's also a very wrong attitude. I personally have learned from many years of struggle on the internet, I have learned that yes, it is a struggle to get your message out. Yes, it is a struggle to convince other people of stuff. But after 20 years, I must tell you, I have also learned that no effort is wasted. That no matter what you do, if you even manage to get one new person converted, that it is worth the effort. And that person in turn will go on and will start telling other people. There is always effort and work involved. You will never get fantastic, fabulous success, but you will get some small success. And the people that you affect will in turn also start doing things. At the end of the day, I've learned that all effort is worthwhile. It's a lot of work, but it is worthwhile, and you mustn't stop. And the best way to compare this with history is a quote from General von Manstein, the best German general of World War II. Unfortunately, I don't have the physical quote word for word in front of me. I need to go and dig for it in his memoirs again. But as best I can remember, it goes something like this. Manstein wrote and said, "If we only fought the battles that we thought we could win, we wouldn't have won any victories at all." So I'll repeat it to you. If we only fought the battles that we were sure or thought we could win, we wouldn't have had any victories. So in other words, you do things even though you're not sure if you can win. Even the soldiers, even the generals, they just get down and they just hang in there for dear life and they do the best they can. And eventually, cumulatively, it all has a result. So you must remember that that is how life is. You alone can't win the battle. I alone can't win the battle. But if all of us make attempts, each one of us will in some way push things forward. And if enough people have that mindset, we will quickly get to where we're going. And it should be obvious by now that all these years of struggle on the internet have paid big dividends. And I can see the cumulative results of those who have come and gone. Some have been knocked out of the game, some have given up, some have been jailed. But ultimately, everybody's contributed, and between everybody, things have moved forward. And that movement is continuing and accelerating. So dive into this thing, because it's well worth the effort. You might not even see or perceive the results and benefits immediately. You might only realize it later. But I've been at this for a long, long time, and I have used methods and means of measuring the results, and I can tell you that no effort is wasted. You won't get fantastic, fabulous success, but no effort is wasted. Try and do something. Try and do what little bit you can that is within your ability. Do it. All whites everywhere, almost without exception, though there might be a couple of small exceptions, are ruled by their enemies, even in white countries. They are ruled by traitors and people who have all the wrong connections and who ultimately actually hate you. I don't think that there's a white society on the planet that's not ruled by people who absolutely despise and hate the common white person. And all you have to do is look at what's happened to Western civilization since World War II and how all of the Western world has been transformed downhill unquestionably to the point where survival is becoming a real issue here. And with all this COVID and lockdowns, people losing their jobs, people getting wiped out, things are getting really nasty. And if you look at TV and radio, mass communications for the last 70 plus years since World War II, it's been in the hands of enemies of whites. And it has been nothing but a propaganda tool to bring down white people. The only thing that has changed that has been the internet and the devices that connect to the internet. The internet is the only time when the common white person has been able to communicate with other common white people in other countries. And the end result is that whites actually get along fine. And whites can actually quite easily agree on lots of major issues. The mass media has been in the hands of our enemies. The mass media has been used exclusively to destroy us all and has played an unimaginable role in the destruction of Western civilization and the total perversion of every value known to whites. Many of the whites who are aware of the truth are too afraid to say anything. They are probably in a situation where they can be fired, etc., so they're not keen to talk. But silence, I must tell you, is death. And you really must make every effort that you can to try and get messages to other whites, to wake them up and to spread the word. I love the term the Great Awakening. I love that term. It is fantastic and fabulous. And if we don't aggressively and actively keep pushing this agenda forward, then the Great Awakening could result in people going back to sleep again. There is a very definite propaganda goal that's been going on for decades and decades to put whites to sleep. To put whites to sleep and mislead them with all kinds of other junk so that they're unaware of what's really going on at a high level. And everything that's going on at a high level is bad for white people. It's bad, it's evil, and it's caused massive problems. And it's so insane that countries that have traditionally been white, even been white for thousands of years, that being white is somehow now a crime. I saw a video the other day where a white woman in Canada was in a hospital with her young son, and the white woman wanted a white doctor. And the liberal system made a whole big shit out of the fact that a white woman in Canada dares to ask for a white doctor for her child. And Canada is a white country. So you need to sit and ponder how this thing is going and how bad it is. I'm going to return to lots and lots of topics relating to white survival and how to survive practically and things that we can do in the future and lots of lessons from history that pertain directly to white survival and why white people can and will survive unquestionably no matter what the elite throw at them. Whites can survive and will survive. The filthy, disgusting elite and all their weird bum chums, literally, they may have laid the groundwork for 1001 nasty, nasty, horrific surprises for white people, but whites can overcome everything. It's very doable, and even whites of South Africa can survive and prosper. Anything is possible if you are willing to learn, willing to work, willing to adapt. We will return to the issues of survival and how you survive and how whites have survived through all kinds of terrible, dreadful situations. And white South Africans, though we are 9% of the population, don't lose faith. Everything can come right if you are willing to adapt and change your ways and learn from history and observe reality as it is. So I want to ask people to make a real effort to try and do some activism personally. Do something yourself. Do anything. Spread the word. Do stuff. And in that regard, I want to tell you a little story about some stuff that I saw in the corporate world. I spent my entire life working as a computer programmer, almost exclusively in the Johannesburg area, working for lots of big companies in all different kinds of industries. And I watched how those same companies changed and how whites eventually were driven out of those same companies. But that's another story. What I want to tell you about is a little bit about activism and what I saw from the other side of the fence. I worked at a point for a bank, and while I was in this bank, I made certain headway, and at a point I got to know a certain manager whom I could talk to very openly and honestly. And he was a colored guy. And this colored guy and I had a bunch of adventures, let's say, in the bank as we tried to do something, and all sorts of things happened. A lot of bank politics, internal politics, which ultimately was turned against me. Until eventually one day I was kicked out of the place. But what I want to tell you about is that at a point in time, I was involved in email, and this particular manager was in charge of all the email that came into the bank. When you wrote and sent an email to the bank of info at the bank name, he had a team of people and they would receive these emails. And they would receive something like 30,000 emails a month, and they would process them and read them and reply to them and pass them on to whoever needed to get them, etc. So I was very heavily involved in email at a point. And I even went and invented something in email that the bank didn't have. I was the inventor of a certain system. So I got to spend lots and lots of time in the bank dealing with all kinds of departments, and I dealt with email up to my eyeballs. And it was actually the most fun time I ever had in the bank. Anyway, what I want to tell you about is an interesting story that this colored guy told me one day. One day in a discussion, the colored guy told me about something that had happened and how it freaked the bank out. He said that something had been published in the mass media. Something had been published that indicated that the bank was doing something not just anti-white, but specifically anti-Afrikaans. And he said that in the next couple of days, they got inundated with 650 emails from customers. And these were angry emails from Afrikaans-speaking customers of the bank, white Afrikaans, obviously. And these white people wrote to the bank of their own accord, and they said to the bank that they were absolutely outraged by what had been published in the mass media. And these angry Afrikaans people were writing to the bank and saying that they are going to shut down their accounts and move their money from the bank. So they got these 650 emails over a couple of days, and this guy who was in charge of receiving the email, he was quite shocked by this and immediately started escalating it up through the management. And in short order, they got these emails to the guy running the operations side of the bank, who, by the way, was also a white Afrikaans guy. Normally, the bank would have some kind of black as the sort of window dressing of the bank, but when it came to running the actual operations, they stuck a white guy in there. So, no matter how liberal these organizations are, depending on the kind of job, they sometimes still stick a white guy in a critical post. So, anyway, they got it up to these guys at the top, including this Afrikaans guy, and they could see that they'd really pissed off a bunch of whites. And the bank was so shocked by these angry emails, even though it was only 650. Now, these South African banks and a lot of South Africa's industries and business sectors are all oligopolies. They're not quite monopolies, but they're damned close. You have like four or five institutions and they totally dominate a sector. And in banking, it's exactly the same. So these banks are actually big. And this bank, for example, had millions of credit card customers. It had millions of customers who had current accounts, or as Americans would say, checking accounts. I can't tell you exactly how many customers the bank had, but it could easily have been about 10 million customers. And yet, when they got those 650 angry emails coming in, they jumped around. And the bank then even went and made a statement, went and issued a public statement to calm down these angry white Afrikaans people so that people don't start withdrawing their money and shutting down their bank accounts. And all of management, including whites, were running around trying to calm these people down and trying to defuse the situation. And this colored guy, who was one of those managers, from the way he described the story, it was clearly something that shocked them. And the bank was hopping and a bopping around over these 650 emails. Even though the bank has got millions of customers, and that bank at that time was probably the second biggest bank in South Africa. So just 650 really angry emails from whites made them hop around and bop around. Okay. Earlier in my career, a little bit earlier, a couple of years before that, I'd been in the home loan section of the bank. And that bank was busy loaning the most money for home loans of any bank in South Africa. I was there at the time when it was functioning at its peak, when it was pumping out billions and billions of rands in home loans. And at the time that they were going through this boom, they also had a white guy, white English-speaking guy, in charge of home loans. And he was very much into marketing. And once a year, he would have a get-together for all his staff, and he would give them some lesson, some talk, etc. And one talk that he gave, he spoke about the importance of dealing with unhappy people. He said that studies among businesses in America had shown that if you make one person happy as a customer, that on average, one happy customer will talk to one other person, will pass on the good news to one other person. But he said an unhappy customer will result in that person on average talking to three other people. So his point was, it doesn't matter how many happy customers you have, the real thing to watch for are the unhappy customers, because they're the ones that can totally stuff it up for you. So if you have three happy customers and one unhappy customer, then you're scoring even, because the three happy customers will tell three other people in total, whereas the one unhappy person will tell three people. So that will give you a bit of an idea of how the negative stuff works. Furthermore, later on in my time in the bank, I was at meetings where they were planning another system. And this was a system now that Twitter and Facebook were becoming big, when the social media was becoming big. The bank went and wrote a computer system with a search engine, and that search engine would hunt through Facebook and Twitter every day. And it would hunt through Facebook and Twitter looking for all mentions of the bank. Any person on Facebook or Twitter who used the bank's name or the abbreviations of the bank's name, all of that was hunted out by computer systems every day. And every day, the staff of this team would go through all the messages that had been found on Facebook and Twitter that mentioned the bank. And they would look for any messages where people said anything derogatory about the bank, and where people were complaining about the bank. And their job was, the moment that they found an unhappy customer out there on the social media talking about the bank, that they had to immediately go onto the social media themselves with their bank name, and they would have to engage that person and ask that person what was wrong, and to describe the bad experience, and to give the details of what had gone wrong, if a transaction had gone wrong, if a bank account had had some problem. They would get it from the customer, and then they would reply to them, and they would also do stuff on Twitter so that Twitter and Facebook, that other people can see that the bank is replying to the customer and is helping the customer immediately. So they had basically a computer spy system just to monitor people who are unhappy about the bank. and to try and fix it in public and to try and make the person happy so that this thing doesn't spread. So that will give you an idea of the power of bad publicity, and that a bank which is worth hundreds of billions of rands, and maybe by now even more, but a bank that is worth at least hundreds of billions of rands, that it runs around trying to keep all those customers happy, and it's very concerned even when one person is unhappy and is starting to talk to other people. So that'll give you some kind of idea of the power of bad publicity. That even an organization that big, which has 20, 30,000 staff members, that even it runs around trying to contain things. And I noticed in my time at the bank that banks are especially concerned about their image. The lengths they will go to protect their image will shock and amaze you. Life is a war, life is a struggle, and it always has been and it always will be. Get used to it, and remember, there are people out there who don't want white people to win, who don't want whites to wake up, who work night and day to stop whites moving forward. Their greatest fear in life is that whites might succeed. Keep that in mind. That is how it works. Whites are totally targeted. Whites are the only people that are not allowed to organize as a group. Whites are the only people who are not allowed to speak as a group. Whites have to be for diversity or shut up. That is how the world is. And that is because people who hate us, are driving the narrative, and they don't want us to survive or succeed at all costs. And never at any time will you see the filthy mass media on our side. They are corporate whores. They work for the wealthy. They're not on our side. You will see that everything that we achieve, we'll have to fight on to even hold on to that which we achieve. That the moment that we stop, the lies will start coming out again, and the other side will be busy pumping out the lies again. This is going to be a way of life into the future. And it starts now with talking, but ultimately it's going to extend into every aspect of life. We're going to come back to this. All of life is going to be like this. You're going to be struggling all the time. But that's how it always was. And that's how our forefathers were. And they managed to overcome things. We will manage to overcome it too. So just wake up to the fact that life is a struggle and start diving into it. And don't worry so much about all the nonsense that's out there and all the threats that are out there. With time, do your bit. Do what you can within your limitations. Do it as best you can. And so forth. Do it overtly, do it covertly, do whatever you can from your position. Don't quit. You will see fantastic things are coming. Fantastic things are on their way. I can see the signs of it already. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.